I want to say thank you as we begin to the people who continue to send in their videos of the ways that you are experiencing your weeks. In this time of self-isolation, it is just really heartwarming to be seeing all the ways that people are doing the things they love, getting outside, being with their family in unique and fun ways, and piecing together this prelude video each week has definitely been a highlight for me. Joel will begin our service by pressing play on that prelude video, and happy Easter again. We're glad that you're here. Good morning again, church. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Our Lenten journey has brought us to today. It seems somewhat strange to be celebrating the joy of the Easter season in the midst of COVID-19. A pastor colleague of Kate and I said this week that while we celebrate Easter on its appropriate calendar day with a Zoom worship service, the real joy of resurrection will come on that first Sunday when we are back worshiping together in our physical space. So today we exist in a middle ground. We're here now, but we're not quite yet there. This week, Joel shared with me a short reflection from Henry Nouwen, and I think it's an appropriate refrain for this morning's call to worship. I've edited it together with some short signs of spring that Annika filmed this week around our house. Join me as we begin our time of worship. Nouwen writes, "Being patient is difficult. It's not just waiting until something happens over which we have no control. the arrival of a bus, the end of the rain, the return of a friend, the resolution of a conflict. Patience is not waiting passively until someone else does something. Patience asks us to live the moment to the fullest, to be completely present to the moment, to taste the here and now, to be where we are. When we are impatient, we try to get away from where we are. We behave as if the real thing will happen tomorrow, later, somewhere else. Be patient and trust that the treasure you are looking for is hidden in the ground on which you stand. Friends, I'm grateful for our congregation during this time and our desire to remain connected in each other's lives in small ways. As we celebrate the Easter season and enter into our time of worship this morning, may we continue to reach beyond the distance, sharing God's love across our disconnect. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. We move now into a time of lighting our peace lamp. And as we begin this time, we wanted to share with you a poem by Emily Dickinson, "As We Too Hope for Something New."
Hope is the Thing with Feathers by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me.
If you would, please join me in a prayer for this morning's offering. God of resurrection, we know your mercy opens the tomb. Accept our gifts from our hands, which we lift up as flowers pushing up from the soil, an ever-blooming abundance. Use these gifts to offer peace to the persecuted and to help all in need. Accept our gifts for the work of your church. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Our children's story today is the reading of a book. It's a little long, almost 9 minutes long, but I hope it helps you see what my sermon title, Waiting in Hopeful Possibility, might look like. This book is a modern day telling of Saint Kevin, who during the 40 days before Easter would live in the desert, spending his days in prayer, lifting his hands to heaven and stretching his arms out through the windows of his tiny hut. The story also has redbirds, cardinals, which are symbols of life, hope, and the Holy Spirit. Redbirds show up in art throughout the ages, reminding us that while circumstances may look dark and despairing, there is hope. So, enjoy this story of waiting in hope and the possibility of new life.
Albert by Donna Jo Napoli. Albert sat at his table and drank tomato juice and listened to the noises of the morning. The people in the apartment above clattered downstairs and out the door on their way to work. The dog next door barked hello to everyone who passed. Children giggled on their way to school. These were good noises. Albert stood up and worked his hand out between the grillwork over the window. He wanted to check the weather. The garbage truck rumbled by. That wasn't a good noise. Albert shook his head. Too cold, he said. He shut the window and rubbed his hands to warm them. Then he sat down and read the comic strip. The next day, Albert ate lunch and listened to the noises of midday. The mailman sang as he slung his pack over his shoulder. The snack vendor shouted out the day's special, golden bean cakes. The flower lady laughed with her customers. Good noises today. Very good noises. How was the weather today? Two men walked past arguing. Now that wasn't a good noise. Too damp. Albert shut the window and wiped his hands on his trousers. Then he took out a pack of cards and did card tricks. The next day, Albert said, too hot. And the next day, too breezy. Albert told himself that when the weather was right, just right, he'd put on his hat and go for a walk. And every day the weather seemed good at first, but after a moment more, it turned out that the weather was never just right. So Albert listened to baseball games on the radio and cut pictures out of magazines and wrote postcards he never mailed. Then one sunny day, Albert stuck his hand out the window, and the next thing he knew, a twig appeared in it. Albert looked around in surprise. A cardinal flew by and dropped in another twig. And then there were two cardinals, a bright red male and a brown-yellow female, and both of them were dropping twig after twig. Albert watched, dumbfounded, as his now cupped hand filled to the brim. The cardinals fluttered and fussed and poked and pulled. They heaped grasses into the center of the twigs. Finally, the female shaped the nest to fit her breast and settled in. Albert stared at her. Excuse me, but my arm's not a branch. But the cardinal didn't even look at him. She flew off, leaving a nest of four tiny eggs in Albert's hand. With his free hand, Albert scratched his head. If he pulled his arm in, twisting to get it back through the grillwork, the nest would surely fall apart. So he stood there. Then Mother Cardinal returned. Albert stood with his arm out the window. Mrs. Cardinal, I think you picked a poor spot to build a nest. But the cardinal just whistled and fell asleep. That night, Albert slept standing up. The next day, the mother cardinal kept the eggs warm while the father cardinal fed her. Albert rubbed his aching neck. Listen, I hate to disappoint you two, but I'm not sure this is going to work. The cardinals looked at Albert, then they preened each other. That night, Albert slept standing up again. The third day, Albert rotated his shoulders to get the kinks out. The mother bird flew to the ground and pecked at a grub. Albert took a good look at the eggs for the first time. Perfect sea blue ovals with red-brown spots. Pretty eggs, said Albert gently. The cardinal gave a quizzical chirp. Day after day, Albert stood, the nest in his hand. He began each day by watching the birds. Then he looked around. Once a man and a woman came out of a building yelling. They turned their backs on each other and both walked off in a huff. Albert wanted so much to pull his arm in and shut the window. But the nest was there, so he stayed put. About an hour later, the man appeared from one direction and the woman appeared from the other. Each held a wrapped present. They laughed and hugged. Albert dreamed about what might be in those presents, and he smiled again. Albert didn't only dream. Whenever the mother cardinal hopped off the nest, even for a moment, Albert breathed his hot breath onto the eggs to warm them. And once, when the Mother Cardinal was away, a cat walked along the ledge beneath Albert's arm. It flicked its tail and looked up curiously. It crouched, ready to spring. Albert screeched. The cat ran off. Albert chuckled. A week passed, and one morning when Albert opened his mouth, he peeped. The Father Cardinal looked at him askance, but Albert peeped insistently. The cardinal flew off. He returned with a beetle. Albert wrinkled his nose and jerked his head away. The cardinal ate the beetle. Then he flew off again. This time he returned with a blackberry. Albert ate it gratefully. From that day on, Albert peeped, and the Father Cardinal fed him blackberries. And Albert smiled at the noises all around him. On the 12th morning, Albert spied a crack in one of the eggs. He put his face to the grillwork so he could see everything perfectly. The second egg cracked, and the third, and the fourth. The baby birds pecked their way out, wet and scraggly. "Good work," Albert smiled. "Welcome." In the next few weeks, the mother and father cardinals fed their brood, including Albert, who learned to love seeds and berries, and even, eventually, beetles. The mother sat on Albert's wrist and sang her joy. The father flew to the top of the maple and sang his pride. The parents whistled to the fledglings, encouraging them to test their wings. Soon the first fledgling left the nest, then the second, then the third. But one stayed. He hopped up Albert's arms and pecked at his nose. He looked worriedly at the ground. "Go for it, birdie," said Albert. "Fly." The fledgling looked down again. He kept his wings close to his body. Albert stuck out his hat in front of the fledgling. "Come on," he said. "Give it a try." The fledgling jumped into the hat. Albert tossed him up lightly. He fluttered a little and landed safely back in the hat with a peep. Albert tossed him higher. He fluttered a lot and landed back in the hat with a loud chirp. Albert tossed him high, high, high. The fledgling looked around and spread his wings. He flew to the maple tree and whistled. Albert smiled and whistled back. The nest sat empty in Albert's hand. He drew his arm in through the grillwork, and the nest fell. Albert looked at the grass and the trees and the sky. He listened to laughter nearby, a good noise, and the siren of an ambulance far off, a bad noise. And Albert knew now that both were part of this big, wonderful world. He put his face up to the grillwork and felt the wind and the sun on his cheeks. "Just right," he said. Albert smoothed his hair and brushed off his hat. After so long, he hardly looked himself. He went outside for a walk. Now Albert walks often, and sometimes, just sometimes, when no one's looking, he flies.
An Easter reading from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. Good to be with you this morning, even if the sanctuary is not where you all are worshiping with me. I'm glad to be here together. So let's begin, as we always do, with a full breath, recognizing that sometimes we notice the Holy Spirit as a red bird singing away. But we can also notice the indwelling of the Spirit as we breathe in and breathe out. So take a full breath with me. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock. My rock and my redeemer. Amen. It's been a week of tears, so I'm just going to name it and hold them and invite you to hold them with me. The sermon is entitled Waiting in Hopeful Possibility. And I want to take some time and look at our scripture through that lens this morning, because I think Mary has much to teach us. In that call to worship that Ben read, it talked about being completely present to this moment, that this is our hard work of this time, of being patient, of waiting, and in the waiting of truly living. Well, Mary, and I think even Albert in our children's story, models this way of being for us. So let's look at Mary. Let's learn from her. I'm going to focus on the second half of the passage, after the racing of the disciples, the hurried look, and their leaving. Because then we find Mary standing by the tomb. Standing and weeping, Mary stays in place. She ran early in the morning to alert the disciples, but this time she stays. What is Mary waiting for? Because Mary waits. In our children's story, Albert waited. He stood believing, hoping that new life would be born out of the sticks and grass that he held in his hand. Waiting in hopeful possibility. But my sermon also could have been named Stop, Look, and Go, after the work of the Benedictine monk David Steindl-Rast, because those are the three steps of gratitude, of seeing God alive in the world, at work around us, of seeing the resurrection here and now. So let's come back to Mary using this framework of stop, look, and go. Go as a way of seeing the resurrected Christ alive and at work around us. Step one is stop. Mary stops. She stands. Stopping or standing is about stepping away from the movement of the world and of these minds of ours. Many of us have been forced to slow down, maybe even stop these weeks. If nothing else, stopping our normal routines. In order to truly notice what's happening around us, to find the resurrected Christ within us, we need to stop. Like Mary, we wait. We stand still and we feel what is here. For Mary, it's grief. And there has been much grief around us, the loss of Rogers, the death of others throughout our land. The grief of learning that all of our schools are closed for the rest of the year. Mary stood still and wept. Grief poured out of her. Maybe grief is what you stop and notice. Maybe it's fear, wondering how long this lasts. Maybe anger. Maybe joy. Whatever is here in this moment, we stop and notice. Step one is to stop. Step two is to look. To look means to assess and behold the situation in front of you. What's the possibility here? As Mary wept, while she was still immersed in her grief, she becomes curious. Something in her wants to know more, to see the empty space again. And when she looks, she sees something new and unexpected. "Why are you weeping?" asked the messengers dressed in white. Mary names her grief. She speaks it aloud. All she wants is Jesus' body to care for. She's not waiting in hopeful expectation of resurrection. She simply wants to care for his body. Mary stops. She's present, waiting, watching, eyes open. Mary looks with curiosity. She names her grief and she asks questions. And then she hears a person she believes to be a gardener. It's when she hears her name that her grief, her longing, turn to hope-filled possibility. Mary. Mary, she looks again, and what does she see? Rabboni is here with her, teacher, friend, companion, Lord. Mary looks and sees not a lifeless body, but one who calls her by name. Mary looks and sees the Lord, sees God at work there with her. Step one is to stop. Step two, look. Step three, go. The risen one says, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Rabboni, the Christ, says, "Have hope. Hope, let your grief transform to hope-filled possibility. Go. Go, Mary, and share this news. Go and tell the others that you have seen God at work in the world. You have seen the risen Christ." Mary stops, looks, and she goes. She doesn't know what comes next, but she goes forth in the dawn of the morning on that first day of the week and announces, "I have seen the Lord." What does it mean for us to stop, look, and go at this moment in our lives, to wait in hopeful possibility, maybe even to get glimpses of the resurrected Christ at work in the world? We stop. We stay home. We wash our hands, not out of fear, but out of love. We look out for those who suffer from loneliness, from insecurity, from unwanted change. And maybe we look for God at work in the world around us, in the blooming of the trees, the chirping of the birds, the chalk drawings of our children, the songs offered by one another. Christ is indeed risen here among us. But my friends, honestly, I'm not sure what it means to go. On any other Easter, we might have plans to go visit family, to go celebrate with others. But today, most of us won't go anywhere. Some might spend the day alone. Perhaps we don't go. Maybe we stop and look, stop and look, stop and look. Stop and notice what's happening within us and around us. And look for signs, listening for our name being called. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's as much as I can do. Listen hard, hoping Christ shows up. But maybe, just maybe, we find small ways to go. We go into our lives, into the uncertainty, into the need or the loneliness, into the beauty and the abundance of this life. For we cannot go where God is not. So let's learn with Mary, with Albert, to stop, to look, and then in any way that makes sense to you, to go. For Christ is here among us. Go in hopeful possibility, knowing that in the bulb there is a flower waiting to be born, in the egg, the possibility of feathers that will fly through the storm singing. My friends, stop, look, go, find the living Christ here among us, calling your name. Amen.
In the pollen and a flower, and a seed on apple tree, it cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a string of place to be. I'm
song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, but it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until the season, something not alone. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death our resurrection, at the last all victory.
Thank you, Micah, Bethany, and all the kids involved. What a gift. What a gift.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. This is a time where we have announcements and name our birthdays and our visitors. So let's start with birthdays. I know that Carl Keener has a special birthday today. So glad, Carl, that you are able to be with us and we celebrate that birthday. If anyone else has a birthday they'd like to name, please unmute yourself and say your name, and you can tell us your age if you want.
Brian Charles is having a birthday next Saturday.
Brian, wonderful. Well, for Carl and for Brian, we wish you a happy birthday. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sing. We like to take a moment and also welcome our visitors. We have a lot of people here with us this morning. So if you'd like to name who you are, just simply unmute and say your name and where you're from. We welcome you to be worshiping with us.
This is Donna in Lancaster. Good morning and happy Easter.
Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Tom Chamness. Lois has gone off to answer the phone, but we live in Lancaster. We were members at University of Mennonite maybe 5 years ago we left. It's good to be with you this morning. Good to see all of the familiar faces.
This is Abhinay. Greetings from Austin, Texas. We were hoping to fly out to State College today, but this is actually much cheaper.
Glad you're with us.
Hi, this is Jesse Rice, Kate's son, and we're listening in today from Taos, New Mexico. Really great to be with you all.
A joy to have you, Jesse and Madeline. Well, grateful for everyone who is here worshiping with us, whether it's your first time or you've been here for years. It's a gift to be together, even if it's just on a little screen like this. I have one announcement I want to share. I sent out via email that at noon today, there is going to be around State College the ringing of bells as a way of expressing gratitude for the many who continue to work as healthcare providers, those who work in the hospital systems, those who work caring for those around us, our police, our EMTs, our firefighters. So if you have a bell at home, you might choose to go outside at noon and ring it as a way of expressing gratitude for the many in our community who continue to serve. Otherwise, I invite you to hear this benediction. Ben and I have decided that during this COVID-19, we will continue to use the same benediction to provide some sense of continuity in this ever-changing landscape. So my brothers and sisters, my siblings in Christ, as you go forth into this week of unknowns, this week where you might find yourself stopping, may you look and may you go. May you go in love, for love alone endures. May you go in peace, for it is the gift of God. and may you go with courage, for we cannot go where God is not. Peace be with you. Christ is risen.